3, 2, 1. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, and he's expanded his title on this badge, Ryan Sundberg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Okay. That's the last time we're going to call you sir with the new title, but I figure it's worth one
loosely,
time.
Loosely.
Yeah. Yeah. Both. William Faulkner is our source for today. Between grief and nothing, I'll take grief.
Yep. It's good to feel. It's good to feel.
Yeah. So, sir, you buffaloed him again, huh? You got through?
It's amazing what people will buy, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it was a really thin pond to choose from at the Coastal Commission because it was wetlands and they couldn't do too much investigating to get somebody from our part of the state to jump on board.
I don't know any other explanation.
Well, bribery could be the other one, but
I didn't do that.
No, yeah, okay. Oh, well. So, now that you are one, what do you anticipate being a coastal commissioner in California is going to mean?
I think it will mean a lot of driving, a lot of reading, a lot of phone calls, and, you know, I think it'll take, just like any board or commission that you go on, and especially this one, it'll take a little bit to get your bearings and get your feet wet and, you know, figure things out. But I'm a quick learner, so I'm hoping that I can handle that part of it and get up to speed pretty quickly. And I'm, you know, one of my main goals, though, is, you know, you hear it all over the place. I'm probably sure you hear it more than anybody, is, you know, how long things take. And when you have projects that, you know, think are pretty simple, or, you know, projects that wouldn't be necessarily controversial.
Straightforward.
Yeah. It just, and they get a list of studies they have to do, and it basically makes it financially infeasible for the project to even get to a point where someone could say yes or no. So I'm looking forward to digging into that and finding out if
you need an EIR to dig.
Yes, you would need an EIR to dig.
Sir.
Part of the problem. How did I get myself into this here?
Well, you see, you know, it was a cheap hair comment before the show.
I should have waited.
How many? There are 22 commissioners? 20 commissioners? 12 commissioners? No, how many?
I believe there's 12. And there's
12?
Six,
okay.
That are from the governor and six that are from the legislature.
So how long is the appointment for?
4 years.
And renewable?
Yeah.
It's not a term out kind of thing?
No, as long as you're completely at the pleasure of the governor. And so he can remove you and replace you at his leisure.
Okay. So you're just going to have to make sure he continues to have his iced tea. So he's always in leisure. It's like I need to give you a starter kit here.
I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well,
you're one step ahead of me here, I think.
Yeah, I'm just clearing out the cobwebs for you. Or the spider webs, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to talk shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor and newly minted California Coastal Commissioner Ryan Sundberg. When do you get to warm the chair?
So the next meeting is canceled. So
in your honor?
No.
Oh.
No. So the April meeting is canceled. The following one, I believe, is the May meeting, which is in San Diego, I believe, from when I was scrolling through them, and I might have it mixed up with the next one, but I'm pretty sure the next one's in San Diego. What would happen is and it's towards the end of the month, but I would leave after the meeting got over, the Board of Supervisors meeting gets over. I would, you know, for that one, I would fly out, get into San Diego the day before. They have a separate packet for you for supplemental material that comes in kind of towards, you know, at the last minute that you have to digest. And then the big packet comes about 2 weeks early before the meeting, so you have a little bit of time to read that. And the supplemental's on Wednesday or on Tuesday night, and then your meeting is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
They don't give it to you electronically?
Yeah, it's electronically, okay. But I believe that most of the supplemental material comes at, you know, towards the end. And so I don't know if it's an actual physical packet or electronic packet, but
so you'll be drinking from the fire hose.
Yes, that's my understanding.
It'll be interesting to see. Do you know any of the personalities that are there?
I don't. No, I don't know any of the people.
So you're only cold turkey.
And there's six of us. Six of us are brand new.
Oh, really? It was a whole change. So, the whole slate.
Just, people.
Everybody got voted out that was on the commission last time.
No. But there was people who, I think there was some people who were upset about the changeover in the director, the executive director, and I think that some people resigned.
Resigned in a fit of bad taste. Okay.
So, yeah.
So you, yeah. Really half of the commission is new?
I believe so. I believe wow. There's half of them, or half of us now is going to be new. But you know,
well, you can have your own little splinter group there, huh? You rabble rouser, you.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll find out. But you know, with there's a brand new executive director, but he was hired from in house. He's been there for quite a while, and I've heard really good things about him. And
so he knows the ropes.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll help, especially with having a, you know, especially half of the commission being new. It's gonna
I think probably as daunting as being the new ED is having that kind of turnover all at once and everybody coming in as a newbie.
Yeah, that'd be tough. Yeah, especially trying to get me up to speed. It's going to be.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. Either it's going to
be a full-time job.
Really lead to efficiencies because you'll just, you know, read the white paper, not the details. Or it could really slow things up. I mean,
yeah.
Ouch. Is there an opportunity?
I'll do my part, though, to get, you know, to try and digest as much as I can. And
tell everybody what the right decision is.
Yeah, as long as they agree with me, it'll be the right decision.
No issue. Is there a way? I can remember, boy, Jeff Smith had ran for Eureka City Council decades, maybe?
Oh.
15 to 20 years ago.
Before my time.
With the thought of having one coastal plan or you know, it was in Eureka in the waterfront, so one plan approved, and then everybody could work against it. Kind of like, I guess, what Oregon does.
So they do have that. And
that's in place already.
Well, it's not in place already, but it's almost finished.
Or it's pending.
Yeah, it's pending. It's called the Local Coastal Plan. And so Humboldt and Eureka are both doing those. And the governor actually put money in the budget to pay to give counties and cities the money to pay for those plans.
I would think that would speed it up.
Oh, for sure. It's going to make a big difference. Yeah, because basically you have the whole coastline on the county in Eureka, which you have it all pre-done, or like it's almost like pre-zoning for other
pre-authorized
areas. And then as long as you stay within that plan, then you're good to go. And that'll make a big, big difference.
Kind of like what I understand a general plan is about.
Kind of, yeah.
You don't want to draw too many parallels because I don't think you're going to be there in 25 years.
Well, I don't. Yeah, hopefully it won't take that long to finish up. But it's, yeah, you know, it's the same concept. Yeah,
yeah, I bet you. Speaking of which, general plan, what's the status of that thing?
So the status is there is light at the end of the tunnel. It went out for final referral to the agencies last Friday, so a week ago today. Or no, a week
ago. Went out on the 10th?
Yeah. So okay. Not last Friday, but the Friday before.
Right.
And I think it's 45 days it goes out for a referral that they have to respond.
So that takes us to the end of April-ish.
Yep. And then our staff will take those comments, and then it'll come back to us. And then we're scheduled to have it for a couple months, I think, to go and review the comments, get it back to staff, and then staff comes back for the final approval. So it's
Christmas. I mean, depending on so if you have May 1st.
June, July,
and then depending how long you guys want to wrestle with it.
This summer it's supposed to be finished.
Okay, so maybe the fiscal year?
Yeah, well, could be, yeah.
Best case scenario?
By the beginning of, right around the fiscal year, somewhere in there.
Do you really expect that some of these various jurisdictions are going to have more additional comments? I mean, I'm thinking the comment might be, hallelujah, thank God, hooray, hooray, we're almost done. There's been so much input from so many people so many times for so long. What's left other than a typo?
You know, they had to recirculate it because our board made so many changes to it that the comments they had previously didn't know if they were outdated or not. Well, and things have changed, and you know, so they had to go out for a referral again. But it's hopefully they don't have too many, and we'll see.
Boy, do you sound tired. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg, new California Coastal Commissioner, as well as Humboldt County Supervisor. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Ryan, last chance grade is continuing to be an issue, obviously. It's moving. I think the level of recognition is up significantly in the area, which is cool. The lack of the increased levels of frustration also are increased significantly in our area, which I think is also cool because at least there's a chance that there may be something going on. I've had some folks share that the governor needs to buy in on this also as an individual in addition to the system. We need to get the senior guys involved, not those that are in the circle finger pointing across the way that it's their fault, it's their issue, it's this, it's that. Okay, fair enough. What's your understanding of the current behind-the-scenes stuff? Not the road itself, but the things that are going to lead to an eventual solution with this.
So a few weeks ago, the Senator McGuire, Huffman's office, they had the new head of Caltrans come up. And
not also, the district guy.
No, the head guy for all of California was up. And then also the head of Federal Highways out of Colorado came up. And they drove last chance grade, and they also flew last chance grade to see it, you know, in its full glory. And it's pretty, you know, once you do that, there's no doubt that you see how much of an issue it is, and it's a matter of time.
There's a sobriety associated with that that's, right there.
And you know that action needs to be done. And so after that meeting, the Federal Highways is going to bring it up to have it declared an emergency. And the reason it's not been declared an emergency, even though you and I obviously know it's an emergency, but the definition, it has to be closed for, closed, not one-way traffic.
Gone, closed.
It needs to be really permanently closed. And so if it's not, then you have to get an exception. And so that's where Federal Highways is going to, Caltrans has given them all the data that they have, and then there's some additional analysis that Caltrans is just finishing up. They'll get that over to Federal Highways, and then hopefully they will declare it an emergency. And what that'll do is open up the ER funds, which is $100 million. And so it's, probably a tenth of what the project needs, but it allows.
So the $100 million is for the a specific project, or is that the total pool?
It's the total
for everybody in the country.
No. It's a total amount available, I believe. It's 100.
So, like the slip that happened down in Big Sur area is also competing for a piece of that 100 million.
I believe it's. That's a good question. I think it's 100 million per project for the project, but it might be it could be 100 million overall. That's a good question. I can find that out, but it doesn't really matter because you need a lot more money than that to do this project. But what this emergency declaration would do is it would jumpstart the project into action.
Does that waive the environmental?
It doesn't waive all the environmental. It waives some of the environmental. It makes it easier, but you still have environmental to go through. You still have, a World Heritage site that you have to go through, and people care about that, and there's ways under it and around it that are alternatives that we've outlined, that we've talked about over the time that I've been on there. What this will do is once this gets declared an emergency, then we can pick an alternative and then move forward. And so in a week or two, we're meeting back in Dilnort County to go through those alternatives. We're down to 6 alternatives right now, and we'll pick one, hopefully. And, Huffman will be there, and we're going to narrow it down.
Push it through, so to speak.
Yeah. But it's going to take a few years, just to actually do the construction, So there's going to be a lot of monitoring. They'll be probably digging into the hill if it falls some more. Caltrans is pretty confident, though, we just talked about this last week at our HCOG meeting, the Humboldt County Association of Governments meeting, and Caltrans was there, and we talked about it a little bit, and, they're confident they can keep it open one way through the next period of years.
Well, they've kept the old original highway open by the old, was it Fort Ranch or whatever it was, but it's gravel and it's slipping, and there's no way it would be safe for a trailer or commercial traffic to go through it.
No, they can keep
it. I mean, they're degrees. Stagecoach is the same way. I mean, you're more familiar with that one.
Stagecoach is closed. It's gone. The culvert took out the road so there's no road.
Finally knocked it out.
You can't get through there right now, but it's on there.
Would that be something that would qualify for an emergency declaration?
It's not a Caltrans road. So,
well, that's right. They gave it to the county, didn't they?
It's a kid. Thanks.
Yeah. Years ago.
But we put in for disaster, and so there should be money coming. There's 75% of it gets paid for by FEMA, and that makes a big difference. So we'll be able to repair it. It's just going to take some time.
Bridge?
I don't know what they'll do there. I think that they'll probably just replace the culvert and then pave over it. Because what happened is there's trees and stuff got stuck the top side of the culvert, blocked up the, water backed up, and then it finally pushed it all out.
Explosion, yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the last chance grade, I guess, is indicative. I mean, we had it with Confusion Hill, and I don't know why. It's probably because I'm more focused on it than I was before, or it impacts me more. But why people are looking at last chance grade is manageable over the last 10 years, I mean, or 20 years, 50 years, 75 years, where with Confusion Hill, it was, okay, this is critical. We gotta. And it was pushed through. Was it the strength of will that made the difference? Because it alternative route, okay, lots of money, time. I mean, a lot of things are very comparable between the two. And we could throw in 299 too. I mean, that's the same unfortunate situation as well. Or 36 with those couple of areas that are slipping out now, and it really points out the vulnerability of our road system into and out of this region. We don't have the votes. Okay, we get that. Is there anything that you see as a long-term systemic approach to getting it done right in our area?
So when they took earmarks away at the federal government, I mean, because these are too big of projects to be paid for by the state, and so they need federal assistance to be able to do these. And when the earmarks went away, doing specific projects is no longer attainable, and that makes it really difficult.
Was Confusion Hill one of those?
I believe that was an earmark.
Okay.
Yeah, and that. But you can't do that anymore. And I'm not sure what all went around Confusion Hill, just because I wasn't involved then.
I know you were a young pup. Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know the details for sure. But it's, I think long term, I would hope that the state could, find these troubled areas and prioritize them somehow, and try and get on board. There's such big numbers that are involved. I mean, this is $1 billion for last chance grade. I mean, staggering numbers.
You're not going to sales tax your way to that one.
No. So trying to get the federal government to get on board with prioritizing these and funding them ahead of time, and is very important. You also have to, in California, we also have the issues of, getting something in place to where it's not going to get sued and get blocked in court, because you see what happened at Richardson's Grove. I mean, that's been
locked
up in court. Yeah,
but District 2 got their thing punched out with 299 pretty easy on the other side going down into Weaverville.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't challenged, So, I mean, I think that's one of the strategies that Huffman had on Last Chance Grade, was to get all these people in the same room, environmentalists and and have all of us have the same information. And, at the end of that exercise, we all had the same conclusion. And I'm talking about Save the Redwoods and EPIC and the rest, the environmental groups as well, that doing nothing is not one of the alternatives, or trying to keep it on the side of that bluff is not an alternative that works. And part of that is trees. And, other sensitive habitat has to have a road go through it. And they were on board with that. And I think he was hoping that strategy would keep it out of court. And
let's cross our fingers, huh?
Well, I think that with that buy-in, it will help. And hopefully, the project can move forward.
All right. Well, have a fun meeting.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it.
Good deal. I might even buy you a candy bar just because.
It might keep me awake. Coffee and candy.
See you everybody tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, bud.